Good evening.
Hey guys.
We are so excited that you guys all came out for us tonight. We are so excited about doing the service tonight. Our kids are so excited to share with you guys what we do is praise and worship. And so we just thank you for coming tonight.
Yeah, you'll have to excuse me. And Christy, it wasn't planned for us to get up and talk to y'all to begin with. Jessica and Rusty had some stuff they wanted to say, but
something kind of got in the way.
So baby Hudson is keeping them at home tonight, and they'll be back soon. And they send their love to you guys, and they're really hating that they're missing it because they're really proud of you, and they wanted us to share that with y'all. And just that they're praying for you, and they're really proud of you. Also, tonight's going to be a little different. I know that y'all are not used to it, but we are out in that trailer. We rock it, and we have a good time. We're going to have the lights out, so y'all calm down. It's going to be all right. We're going to turn the lights out. We're going to have different kinds of music. We're going to have, you know, action songs. Y'all going to have to get up and help support them. Don't make them be up here doing this by themselves. But even if you don't, they don't care because they're here to worship. And that's the way we worship on Wednesday nights. And we just wanted to be able to share that with y'all. So feel free to worship. We tell the kids all the time, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You know, if you want to dance and you want to raise your hand, you do it because you need to feel welcome to worship the way you want to. And so we ask that you feel the same way tonight.
Okay, Alan, if you'll come up and open our service with prayer, please.
Hello, everybody. Hello. All right, guys, this is something that we've never done. There's going to be a few hiccups as we go through. We're learning to do this, but I'm excited. Yeah. They're excited. Amen. We're all nervous. I've talked to Matthew and the people that are performing, but we're excited about it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this evening thankful for this opportunity to gather in your house. God, we thank you for this special opportunity for the youth to gather here, God. God, that we can worship you, we can praise you in this house, Father, as a group. Father, we know that this is what you would have us do. And God, we pray that the Holy Spirit be in this room. Father, there be one or some, Father, that gain so much from this message, God, and this time, they can turn their life over to you. And God, we'll praise you in advance for everything that will happen here. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring up deep, deep waters. We're gonna dance in the river. Dance in the river. There's a stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring. Please stand and worship with us.
One, two, three, four.
This world can be cold and bitter. Feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide it forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine, for all to see. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. They need to know, I need to go. Spirit, won't you fall on my heart now? Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You are the fire, you are the flame. You are the light on the darkest day. We have the hope, we bear your name. We carry the news that you have come to save. Only you can save. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you that we need. Start a fire in me.
Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be able to gather here today and help us be able to have a wonderful service tonight and help us be able to just worship you freely and openly here tonight and help us all to have a wonderful time and for this sermon to touch somebody tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hands. 1,500 miles wide mansions, side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land.
Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known.
The people will be young, no division, all is one. Eternal celebrating going on.
Don't you wanna go with me to God's new city? Don't you wanna hear that heavenly choir sing? Don't you wanna this great salvation plan? Can't you feel it stirring in your soul? Don't you wanna go? I have many loved ones waiting over yonder.
from sin. As we praise the Lamb of God, whose joy we'll share. Don't you want to go with me to God's new city? Don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing? Don't you want to touch the nail-scarred hands that brought this great salvation plan? Can't you feel the stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go? Salvation plan. Can't you feel it stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go? Can't you feel it stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go?
Don't you want to go? Yes, I want to go.
Go, 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 go. Don't you want to go?
Listen, guys, that come on short notice. They didn't have a bunch of time to practice. Miss Kim, where are you at? How long did you practice that?
Three times.
You guys did a great job. We're going to get started. We're going to start this message, and the name of this message is Are You There? Are You There? Let's think about it for just a second. How many of you know how to text message? All of you up front can raise your hand. All right. How many of you in the back know how to text message? Oh, we got some of you back there. I'm really slow at it, but I can do it. All right. How many times have you been texting someone and you know that they've got the phone in their hand and you text them and you send it and you don't get anything? Now, some of us will wait 45 minutes if we don't get a response. Well, maybe they're ignoring me, but you guys will wait 20 seconds. I know it. You give it 20 whole seconds and you shoot another one out there. You don't get a response. And after four or five times, what do you say? Do you ever type in, hey, are you listening? Are you there? I do that to my wife. Sometimes she does that. But have you ever had that done to you? Have you ever been sitting there and you get a text message and you have a good idea who it's from? And you look over and you don't want to look right over the top of it because that will obligate you to respond. You know, look at it from a distance. You get a little closer and, ooh, I don't know. So maybe if I just don't pay any attention to it, it'll be all right. So you get a little closer and after two or three times they ask you, hey, are you there? Are you paying attention to me? Sometimes that policy in life, sometimes we live life that way. And that's not always a great way to be. In fact, usually it's not. It's not fun when it's a one-sided conversation. You see, God sent out the biggest text message you've ever seen. We read it every day. When I go to work, when I get ready for bed, when I'm sitting at the table, when I pick up the Bible, it is a text message from the Lord. Has anybody ever looked at it that way? Have you ever thought, you know, this message right here continues to give every time I open it up? It never fails. You know, as I was reading through for this right here, when I was preparing for this right here, I found it a little bit difficult to speak to you because I know that you're going to pay attention exactly what I say. And if I get it wrong, what if I've affected you in a negative way? What if I didn't get it right? And I've prayed about this, and the message is there. If I'm willing to stand up here, if I'm willing to follow God, He's going to back me up. He'll see me through to the end. He'll never leave me stranded. He'll never leave me alone. And I started with Romans 10:13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I called upon the name of the Lord. I asked God, save my soul. And He did that. But that was one of the messages that He had sent out that I responded to. And another piece of scripture that comes to mind is 2 Peter 3:9. It said, well, before I get to that, there's been times when I look at the message that I got first. You know, I turned my life over to the Lord. I turned my life over. And there's been times where I've read those messages and I didn't respond. Just like that text message we were talking about a while ago that you didn't respond to. We've all done that, right? We're all on the same page, right? So the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when I read those messages, and I've turned my back and I didn't pay attention to it, I start feeling that guilt. Not the guilt to the point to where I run and hide, but I run to the Lord and I tell Him, I'm sorry that I've turned from You. I didn't pay attention to what You said. I didn't listen to You, but I'm here right now, and I apologize. Now, that's a great message. That's something that He's give us. But what good is a message if we don't read it? What good is a message if it comes across our phone? We hear it. You hear the message. Again, sometimes you look at it. You lean in to see who it is. Because some people, let's face it, you don't want to talk to them as much as others. But when the Lord speaks, we should listen to Him. We should listen to exactly what he says. The message that he gives affects our lives. What if I told you that God's love and his message are so big that he desires our attention? That when he sends the message to us, what he wants is response from us. When the message is put out there, when we read, when he speaks to us through his word or the Holy Spirit, he's looking for response. And sometimes that's not always as clear as we think it is. You know, how we understand what his plan for our life is if we don't read it? If we don't look at what he sent us? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." So what that piece of scripture tells me is when I open the book and I'm reading, or the Spirit is speaking to me and I think of the scripture that I've read throughout my life, or some of the scripture, and it rolls through my mind, I know that the words that are in there are from the Lord himself. And I've heard this preached before, but you always stop and think, inspired, God's inspired word. Who's heard messages on this before? You ever heard this? Do you know what inspired means? Do you know what inspired means? God inspired means that God breathed. You can look at it like this. God breathed life into the words that he created into the Bible. So when we read his word, you're reading his instruction. You're reading his policy. Not that it's the policy like a supervisor gives you. I need you to do this. Not like that. It's, I want you to do this, or I want you to be this, because I love you. Because this is best for you. The book's full of messages. We get them every day. They come to us daily. God's word is breathed in and breathed into the Bible. He wants us to look at him like he is. He wants us to understand that he is what we depend on. That when we read his word, that we should trust his word. And that we should understand that what he gives us not only is best for us, but how we can model our life. How we can model our daily walk with God. Our daily walk that we have to do when we wake up every day. Some days are easier than others. But most importantly, of this part of the message, when the Lord speaks, I know that I've been hesitant at times in my life to respond. God's telling you, I'm always here. I'm right here. I'm standing here. And we all know that we're sinners because we're human. We've lived a life of sin. But God's love has covered our sin through Jesus Christ. And when we look at the Lord and when we read his message, we tend to tie it in little packages. Like a lot of times, you know, we come in here on Sunday morning and we have a youth service. Or we come in here on Sunday morning and we have a Sunday school class. We come here on Wednesday night and have a youth service. But God's not limited to Sunday and Wednesday. He's more than Sunday and Wednesday. God is more than choir practice and Sunday school. Those are all great things. But God shows up on your job. God shows up at school. And one that burdens me a little bit, but God will show up when you're standing in a grocery store line looking at a woman that can't pay for the food that she's got her kids with her. That's tough. God shows up for families that's lost a loved one. People gathered around. And this church right here must think that when you have lost a loved one and everybody is grieving, that you can eat enough food for 400 people. Because every time that someone has suffered a tragic loss, these people respond and there's stacks of food. We can't eat it all, but we try. Especially the dessert. We love the dessert part of it. But we read these messages and we try our best to comprehend, but sometimes it's not always easy, especially when I was your age. I struggled badly. I didn't get it. But I needed to understand the message. But most of all, I needed to know the truth. Truth is, God loves you. Amen. Just like you are. Amen. Just like you sit right here, God loves you. And to put a little extra on this, let me finish. You're God's favorite. Let me finish that statement with this. How many of you know my family? Do you know how many is in my family? All right. Tracy and I have two children, and this is what I mean. When I think about my children, Jack and Alana are my favorite. Jack and Alana are my favorite two children. And I know you're thinking, well, you just said you had two kids. Well, absolutely, I've only got two kids. But how could I choose one over the other? How could I choose one over the other? Christy, how many children do you have? You got one child. Which one's your favorite? Obviously, that one. Miss Kim, you have three children. How many are your favorite? Three children. Tommy, how many children do you have? How many favorites do you have? Can you choose one over the other? You guys don't understand that yet, but you will. But God loves us the same. I'm no more valuable than you, and you or me. God loves us more than we'll ever understand. So we are His favorite, or I'm His favorite. There's some people in this room that think everybody thinks is their favorite. But we are His favorite. God's word's just like that. It's meant for everyone, including you, including I. Like we read earlier in that last piece of scripture, it gives us, God's word being breathed in, it gives us a peace of mind knowing that it says profitable for doctrine. We can use it to talk about what we believe and we know is true, but at the same time, it will point out flaws in us. It will point out our flaws. But not to condemn us because of the flaws, but it also points out those very same things for correction. So when we're wrong, we're not beat down with being wrong. God wants you to be right. That's the way He works. We can't describe His love as a whole. It's more than we'll understand. And again, we're trying to understand the messenger, understand the truth. But Matthew 28, 19 and 20, who's familiar with that scripture? Who knows what that is? What is that? It is the Great Commission. People know what the Great Commission is? Go out into the world. Spread the gospel. Let's keep it basic. Those are instructions. But that's understanding. Dig a little farther into Mark. 12:31. Does anyone know Mark 12:31 is? Love thy neighbor as you love. Just love thy neighbor. Thy brother, love thy neighbor. Do we have the concern for those around us that we have for ourselves? Remember, God loves us all the same. Should we have it? We should be able to run to our friends in need or people who even aren't our friends in need and show them the same love and care that you would show toward yourself. Sometimes that one's tough. Let me give you a weird example that happened to me when I was younger. I had a friend that was riding a bicycle with no shoes on. This ain't going to end good. And he thought it was a good idea to try to stop by putting his foot on the ground. Okay. Well, you can imagine it wasn't beautiful. And it broke some bones, and it wasn't good. But think about the right and wrong way to handle this. Love thy neighbor. I could have went over there at the time. I didn't go at all, but I could have went there and said, Man, if you'd have had shoes on, you wouldn't have broke them toes. It would have been all right. But if I would have said that, did that show any love? Or do you think that already crossed his mind before I got there? Before I went, do you think, hey, if I'd have wore shoes, my toes would be fine? But they're not. His toes are broken. And I don't need to rub that in. I don't need to point that out. The reason is because next week I'm going to break my toes. And when I do, he's going to come over. Hey, Alan, how's them toes? Yeah. How's them toes feel? Right. But how? What would it be different? How should I do that? Should I go there and say, friend, Bill, Joe, Catherine, whatever your name may be, I'm awful sorry about your foot. What can I do to help you? What can I do to make this better? The same way I wouldn't want to be treated. Because it'll matter. Because then when I break my toes next week, hopefully Bill and Catherine will come by and help me out. But that's God's instruction. But 12, that was 12:31. 12:30 says, love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And we just talked about the way that we love our friends and the way we should treat them. And it runs through my mind, I think. Shouldn't I know this? Should God, should Jesus have to say these words for me to know it? Shouldn't I know it? But the answer is maybe not. Maybe I have to hear that to understand it. Not only do I have to hear it, think about this. Why would Jesus go and say those things literally out loud? And I thought about this for a good bit throughout the week. And the truth is that is just a reflection of the Lord Himself. He wants us to love Him that much because He has already loved us more. He has shown more. We can't give the same amount back. We can give what we have. Remember, we're God's favorite. We're moving into the latter part of this. So now that we've read the instructions, we understand what God wants us to do. Show love. We understand the truth. But now it's time to follow the instructions. It's not always easy. Have you ever gotten off path? Have you ever got sidetracked? I'll give you an example about following instruction. When I was in seventh grade, I had home economics. And yes, we had to sew. I had to sew an apron. I got a 100. I did get a 100. But we were getting a little rowdy one day, and the teacher, what was that woman's name? I can't remember. She said, seems how you guys won't calm down, and I've given you my instruction to be quiet. I've got a task for you. So we're being rowdy. So she hands out this piece of paper to everybody. And there's a list of 100 things. Starting with number one, all the way to 100. How many of you adults have fell for this trick? Do you know where this is going? Okay, I see. Number one, she says, I want you to do every single thing, starting from the top to the bottom. Follow, just do what it says. All right, she's upset, she's mad, we won't be quiet. Number one, read all 1 through 100. Number two, stand up, roll your sleeves up, cluck like a chicken. So, a minute into it, you hear the whole class rolling their sleeves up. And then goes on a little farther, and you see people hopping on one foot. You see people standing in a chair. There's 100 things to do. It's going to take you all class. Who knows where this is going? And I was one of them. So I got all the way down to the bottom to number 100. And it says, I'm thankful to be there. I'm sweating. When you get to list 100, ignore 2 through 100 and go back to your seat. I'd fail for the whole thing. I read the beginning of the instructions. I heard the beginning, but I didn't listen to the rest of it. I just listened. What if it just stopped with God so loved the world? What if it just stopped right there? Where would we be? read it all. We have to read it all to understand what we're doing. How much trouble and embarrassment would I have saved myself if I'd have read all them instructions? But I did not. And I've learned my lesson. So don't try that. God's given us the message. We've read it. Seek to understand it. And if we will seek God, we will. We can follow the instructions. And ye shall seek me and find me. Are you familiar with that? We have to look diligently to seek God, to understand where He'd have us be. He's given us the instruction, and we can do this. We can do this. You guys at your age right now can be such warriors for the Lord. I'm going to go with an average age of 15 in here. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. God's provided this with everything that we know. He said it'd be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I said all that right there to get to this little portion right here. Satan's never happy when there's a group of young people that have decided to follow the Lord at your age, because he never has a shot at you at that point. He'll do everything he can to make you stumble. He'll fill your life with things to stumble on. But as long as we are faithful and we have faith, we'll be fine. Not to say that you're not going to go through rough times, because you will. That's part of life. The Lord is my shepherd. Satan's going to throw these things out there. They're going to be at your feet. I'm very careful when I teach or I say things about the world to you. But the world is not necessarily our friend. What I see is I see him saying this. If you want to worship God, if you think that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that's fine if you want to believe that. Don't spread it around. It's not a popular thing. That's what the world's telling you. Not only is the world telling you that, they're telling you this. There's one more important than Jesus Christ, and that's you. You're more important. You can do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. But you can worship Jesus if you want to. But just remember, whatever makes you happy. I see it every day. It scares me. Because you're just a handful of kids. You're just a handful. But God's chosen you, and you've responded. And you can be a huge tool to all the other kids in this world. Imagine if you get to them now. Imagine if the Lord moves into their life at this age, how much trouble they could be saved. That's why we must be very patient, but yet pay attention. That today is the day. We're not promised tomorrow. The world, Satan's after us. He's coming. We've got the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. That's the latter part of it. We can praise God today. We can turn our life over today. We can confess today. We can live for God today. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord. Don't let Satan do that. If there's anything that's keeping you from God, it don't have to. It don't have to. You can pour it out to Him. He'll respond. Remember, God sent the message. He just wants our attention. He wants the response. If God spoke to you tonight, I know that you guys are going to sing a song. And I know that part's coming. If God spoke to you and you feel like that you need to go to an altar, it's time. You can do that now. If you feel like you've been singing this song, these altars are open for all of us, everybody in this room. This is God's altar. We can pour it out right to Him right here. And I don't exactly know how to end this service because it's not written on how you want to finish it. But I want to thank you guys for coming to hear me. But most, I want to thank you guys for performing. You guys have done a great job. I'm impressed.
Don't sit down just yet. We have one more song for you. So.
Is great before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. To not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me can be thrown into the midst of the seas. Through it all, through it all, my eyes. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The ways and winds still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and winds still know. And winds still know his name.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my
to thank you for coming out tonight. This has been a great service. I'm super, super impressed with these youth. This is wonderful. I'm going to ask Matthew Holcomb if he would close in prayer for us.
God, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you for tonight. I just thank you for what you've done tonight in the service. Pray that you just continue to bless this group and just continue to help us to be better and better and to glorify your kingdom, God. Pray that you just keep us safe as we hit the highways and just help us to be safe as we get home. In Jesus' name, amen.